The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Pardon the interruption, but I'm Mike Wilbon. Tony, Sean Payton is stepping away from the Saints. Have you ever thought about quitting this show?
I'm Tony Kornheiser. Yeah, a couple of years ago when I turned 90, I thought maybe that was the right time, turning 90, but now
yeah,
I'm back.
Yeah, 90's usually a good time. Tony, this doesn't smell right to me. We're going to get into it, but it doesn't, something just ain't right to me.
Can you see me? You can't see me, right? Like, you can't see me.
No, I can't see you today.
It's okay. It's okay. I'm wearing a black hat today. I just thought I'd tell you that. It's black hat. Welcome to PTI, boys and girls. In today's episode, will Barry Bonds or Roger Clemens make the Hall of Fame tonight? Would you rather have Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay on Sunday? And does Rafael Nadal get special treatment? But we begin today with the news that Sean Payton is stepping away from the New Orleans Saints. Payton has coached the Saints since 2006, making him the second longest tenured coach in the NFL behind Bill Belichick in New England. Payton won a Super Bowl in 2010. He's considered an offensive mastermind and had always appeared to be happy in New Orleans. Reports say he's not retiring. He'd be open to coaching again down the line. So, Wilbon, what is your reaction to Payton's decision?
I don't know what this means. I'm not going to try to act like, you know, I'm some expert and I have some insightful opinion on this. I heard the news. I mean, and Tony, to me, something was coming with Sean Payton because he doesn't have Drew Brees. He didn't have a quarterback that he seemed tethered to. You know, there was talk depending on where you were. I'm sure in North Texas, because of his relationship with Jerry Jones and all kinds of other stuff, that talk geared toward the Cowboys and whether he might come there and replace a guy that many people are not happy with. In his hometown of Chicago, right, there was talk there that, you know, he could come, he could be talked out of whatever he was doing because he never quarterback there. He's got a young Justin Fields in Chicago. Maybe he wants to come home and coach there. But all these things to me were leading to Sean Payton leaving, and so now he's left. So now what? We hear TV for a year. To me, this has Jerry Jones' fingerprints all over it. I don't believe the Bears are manipulative enough to even be involved in something like Jerry Jones would be, but I don't know what the hell it means. It's sort of fun coming off the crazy weekend we just had Saturday and Sunday, but that's as far as I'm going.
Let me get to your first point. I'm sure that Sean Payton found it very wearying when Drew Brees left that he had Jameis Winston and Taysom Hill. Because Drew Brees going to the Hall of Fame. And he misses him right away. And he says to himself, I don't want to go through this. Bill Belichick, the year that Brady left, was a terrible year for Belichick. And then he drafted a quarterback the moment he could draft a quarterback. I wonder what it's going to be like for Mike Tomlin when Roethlisberger leaves. You cannot overestimate the comfort level that a long-term quarterback gives
that's
a coach.
Great point.
So I'm
great
sure
point.
That's part of this. Now, Sean Payton, you know, he talked about television. You could go to Amazon. You could do the Thursday night games. My problem with coaches going into TV, Mike, especially coaches that want to coach again, is that they're not critical of players because they could end up coaching those players. That's just not their particular style. What you're saying about the Bears or coaching Dak Prescott now, you know, at Dallas or Justin Fields or Trevor Lawrence at Jacksonville or Tua at Miami or maybe even Deshaun Watson at Houston. All those jobs are open, Mike, but Sean Payton's locked up till 2024. So unless he can manipulate a way out, he may miss on what I think is a sort of treasure trove of jobs right now.
Well, but there'll be, you know, half of them will be available again next year. Manipulate is the word I use associated with Jerry Jones. And Jerry Jones is not happy with Fred Flintstone. He's not. So, you know, come on.
And Payton coached under Bill Parcells.
This is what
he was
talking about
Dallas.
This every day. This could replace where's Aaron Rodgers going next, or at least, you know, join it. As we exclusively reported yesterday, Tone, the Baseball Hall of Fame announcement is minutes away. We didn't say how many minutes, All right, so the announcement is tonight rather than last night, but the central question is the same. Will Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, Sammy Sosa, or Curt Schilling make it in their 10th and final ballots? Tone, do you want them in the Hall?
Okay, so there's an implicit question and an explicit question, and the implicit question is, do I think they're getting in? And no, I don't. I hope I'm wrong, but I don't think that they're getting in to the Hall of Fame. Only seven guys have ever gotten in on a last year of eligibility, three in the last 5 years. Let me get the names right. Larry Walker was one of them, Edgar Martinez and Tim Raines. They were not controversial. These guys are controversial. That felt sentimental. This is political. We believe as a culture that Sosa and Clemens and Bonds use steroids. In terms of Schilling, he's a close call anyway, but he's become antagonistic to the voters. So I don't think they're going to, any of them are going to get in. And that leaves us with what, Mike? We already have a Hall of Fame where the guy who had the most hits in history, Pete Rose, is not in. Now we're going to have a Hall of Fame where the guy with the most home runs in history is not in, Bonds. We're going to have a Hall of Fame where a right-hander with 354 wins and the most Cy Youngs in history, seven, is not in, Clemens. And we're going to have the only guy ever to go 60 or plus more than once. And he went three times, Sosa. So what kind of Hall do we have, Mike?
Tone, I'm with you on this. And by the way, I don't even, like, year by year over the past 20 years when these guys were being denied, I understood. I understood the protest, if you will, the protest vote. I understood it. Maybe I thought I understood it because there are more people who were voting than it's been since. And I was in press boxes with these guys covering baseball for the first part of my career, and you were too. And so we thought we understood. We talked to these people. You had them as guests on your radio show, on your podcast. We socialized with them. We thought, okay, we understand their point of view. Tone, I have gotten to the point now where I'm like you. I'm like, wait a minute. If all these people aren't in the Hall, what the hell do I care about the Hall for? How relevant is the Hall? And part of this, yes, I hold baseball writers, I guess, accountable. I don't think they got to the bottom of this with their protest votes. It ultimately now has left me just saying about them, I'm tired of them. I'm tired of them as much as I was the steroid cheats.
So I'll tell you,
I
Mike.
I don't care if they're in, but I don't care about the Hall.
I think that they have to be in. I've always told you I think there should be the drawbacks of each guy should be on the plaque. If you want to put them in a separate room, put them in a separate room. But these are record-setting athletes. I would include Alex Rodriguez in this thing, too. He cheated, but he's a record-setting athlete. You have to accommodate them in some way if you have the Hall of Fame, or else build another Hall of Fame across the street. And build it across the street. We move on. Rafael Nadal has advanced to the semifinals of the Australian Open. But the guy he beat in five sets to get there, Denis Shapovalov of Canada, I hope I do that right, complained Nadal received an unfair advantage. Shapovalov said Nadal took too much time between points and sets, too many medical breaks. Shapovalov said, quote, "You feel like you're not just playing against the player, you feel like you're playing against the umpire. I think Rafa is an unbelievable player, but there's got to be some boundaries, some rules set," unquote. Wilbon, what do you think of Shapovalov's criticisms?
I think it's Shapovalov. Now you got me. I had it in my head, and now I got the wrong pronunciation. Forget about
Shapovalov.
That. The question is,
I apologize.
Okay, there we go.
Kornheiser's hard, too.
Tone, this is tennis. This is tennis. I mean, tennis to me, of all the sports, first of all the sports, I think, maybe not golf, but all the other sports, they favor the stars. There is favor given. There's a double standard. People lie and say there isn't a double standard. And there's a double standard. There's always been one. Tennis, to me, has been the most obvious one. Because fame, celebrity in tennis, I mean, it carries a lot. I mean, you got a crowd right there in close proximity, and you got a chair umpire, which is supposed to carry out the rules and sort of mete out, not punishment, but you know what I mean. You gotta take a stand sometime as a chair umpire. And Tony, they clearly are influenced by stardom and celebrity, and they always have. Again, this in tennis more to me than ever. But my response to this is, okay, so what? This is the culture. You're not going to get rid of this. This guy's telling the truth. And Rafa's going to say to him, you get to be famous enough and win enough, and then you'll get the benefit of the double standard in 5 to 7 years.
This is right. Okay, Rafael Nadal has earned this. This isn't like this guy Tsitsipas, who goes to the bathroom and disappears for 20 minutes. People love Rafael Nadal. They want him to win. That's exactly what it, and come on. If you're this other player, the Canadian player, and you can't beat him because he took 5 extra minutes to catch his breath, then shut up. Beat him and shut up. And this is the way this thing works. People want to see Nadal win this whole tournament. I'm old. I side with Nadal. I love this quote from Nadal. Quote, Shapovalov is young and he'll probably reflect someday that he was wrong. And I agree with that. He's wrong. The entire tournament is being played against the backdrop of Novak Djokovic being deported like a criminal. Everybody said he'd win number 21 here. They'd put a crown on his head and he'd be the king. What if Nadal wins 21? And then Djokovic needs 2 more to pass him. And by the way, Shapovalov, how many does he need to get to 21? Oh, I
Isn't
forgot.
Isn't it Shapovalov? 21. Shapovalov.
Let's take a break. Shapovalov. I'm sorry. Again, Kornheiser's tough. Let's take a break. But coming up, Kyle Shanahan has beaten Sean McVay 6 straight times. But would you rather have the Rams coach this Sunday?
No. And the Lakers have struggled with Russell Westbrook, but would they be better or worse with John Wall instead? I've been reading this, and I don't believe this either. I don't believe that either.
Shapovalov.
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 There we go.
Dennis Shapovalov.
Pardon the Interruption is brought to you by Horizon Forbidden West. Rated T for teen.
PTI fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite PTI episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and First Take ad-free as well. They also have your favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/PTI. That's Amazon.com/PTI to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Time for toss-up. 2 men enter, 1 man leaves, finishes the show, then watches the Baseball Hall of Fame results come in, just like he promised to do last night, kids. What's first?
Toss-up. Which coach would you rather have on Sunday, Kyle Shanahan or Sean McVay?
So this is a Nick Saban situation. A few years ago, Kyle Shanahan was the offensive coordinator in Washington. And Sean McVay worked for him. And, you know, so did LaFleur. And then somehow when a coaching opening came in, Jay Gruden got it and not any of them. Shanahan has owned McVay lately. 6-0 in the last 6. This is what happens with Saban when he beats the assistants all the time. Do I think Shanahan is a great coach? Yes, I do. He got to a Super Bowl with Jimmy Garoppolo. He holds on to the ball. He shortens the game. He's crushed the Rams the last 2 times. But McVay's no stooge, Mike. They came in the league at the same time as head coaches. McVay's record is 55-26, and Shanahan's is 39-42. They both went to the Super Bowl, one with Garoppolo, one with Jared Goff. The question isn't which coach do I want, it's which team do I want, and I want the Rams.
Yeah, I want Shanahan, because Shanahan showed me stuff, showed us all stuff the other night. This is all you need to know about Shanahan. He not only has beaten the opponent, he's beaten the opponent while basically just sort of navigating around his own quarterback. So on a 3rd and 7 with the game on the line, he doesn't even trust his quarterback to put the ball in the air. He calls a running play to a still, essentially, a receiver, a great one, the most dangerous player offensive player in the
great
NFL
player,
today.
Debo Samuel's
okay,
great
Debo Samuel. But yeah. Tone, when you have to navigate around your own quarterback and you win the games, look, I don't think Shanahan can win this week. As great as he is, I think that the Rams are just gonna just toss the 49ers, because the 49ers are playing without a quarterback. Maybe it's going to come out that Jimmy G is actually injured, that he's got maybe multiple injuries, and I don't want to have to be one of the people that says, okay, wait a minute, I got to apologize, but I will. But Tone, what Shanahan has done, what he did this past weekend to get his team past the Packers in Lambeau, come on, man, is Shanahan.
What's next? Shapovalov. What's next?
Toss up. Should the Lakers prefer to stick with Russell Westbrook or trade for John Wall?
This is being reported by The Athletic that this trade is maybe in the works. Look, this is damage control for the Lakers now. If I think that Russell Westbrook's a far better player than John Wall. But if you're going to keep Frank Vogel, and I don't know that they are, but if you're going to keep him and he's already benched Russell Westbrook, then it's probably best for you to trade him. If you trade him to the Rockets, he's going to be better than Wall because at least he plays. Wall hasn't played a minute all year. He goes out, he warms up, he changes clothes, and he counts his money. Would Wall be good for the Lakers? Maybe he would be good for the Lakers. I don't know that. I don't know anything about this, Mike. This is what I know, that I look at the Lakers, and they seem like a quarantine cruise ship in the middle of the Caribbean with no place to dock. That's what they seem like to me.
This trade, if it happens, will be irrelevant. The Lakers are irrelevant. I know they have LeBron. I know LeBron statistically is having a great individual season. But the Lakers, one more time, no matter how many times every network, including this one, shows I'm on, including this one, feels they have to talk about the Lakers are irrelevant. And they've already, Westbrook and Wall have been traded for each other already, haven't they?
I mean,
what are we talking
about?
They know
the drill.
What are we talking about? It doesn't matter. They're moving the chairs on the Titanic. That's all they're doing, the Lakers. Wake me when the Lakers are relevant again. This trade, if it happens, will not make that so.
So you had the Titanic. I had a quarantine cruise ship, but I can still say Shapovalov. That's it. Let's take one last
Shapovalov.
Wuban chewed up the Bears' last general manager. So what does he think about the guy who will reportedly be their next one?
Yeah, I think I got that right. And how will Auburn basketball perform in tonight's first test as being voted number one? I think I got Nagy.
So I got it wrong again? They're in my ear. I got it wrong again?
Shapovalov. Now I got it right without even looking at it.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Happy time, people. Happy 56th birthday, Mark Schlereth. A local for us, Wilbon. Schlereth played the first 6 years of his 12-year NFL career with the Washington football team. He was a hog, a starter at guard who protected Mark Rippon for the Super Bowl champions in 1992. Schlereth acquired the nickname Stink for reasons we're not going to go into here.
No, we can't
Schlereth
do that. Can't
Schlereth played
go there.
The last 6 years for the Broncos and protected John Elway in his Super Bowl championships in 1998 and 1999. A two-time Pro Bowler, Schlereth retired after his 20th knee operation, the 15th on his left knee alone. Schlereth's son, Daniel, was a reliever for the Tigers and Diamondbacks, appearing in 94 games and posting a 5-6 record. Mark Schlereth was a 10th-round draft pick out of Idaho, but he's not from Idaho. He's from Anchorage, Alaska. He's the most decorated Alaskan football player. Other Alaskan athletes of note include Curt Schilling, Carlos Boozer, Trajan Langdon, the Alaskan Assassin, and Olympic gold medal skier Tommy Moe.
Stink has always been great to listen to, great to talk to. He made very difficult, complex things, concepts, simple. I mean, it just, you know, I don't get enough of listening to him. I hear him on games now, I immediately know his voice because you and I have been listening to him, Tony, for about 20 years. So it's just, it's great to just hear him, and he should be a part of these things, particularly television,
very good
forever,
in the locker room.
Until he gets tired of doing it.
Go-to Absolutely. Guy in the locker room.
Absolutely.
Happy anniversary, Phil Sims. On this day, 35 years ago, Sims completed a Super Bowl record 88% of his passes, including another Super Bowl record 10 in a row, as the Giants beat John Elway's Broncos 39-20 in the Rose Bowl, and Sims was named MVP. Accuracy wasn't always Sims' strong suit. In college at tiny 1AA Moorhead State in Kentucky, Sims completed only 48.9% of his passes and threw way more interceptions than touchdowns, 45-32. In Sims' last year, that team went 2-6-1. And despite all this, the New York Giants made Sims the 7th overall pick of the 1979 draft, a choice that was mostly booed in New York. Even Sims conceded, quote, "Most people have never heard of me," unquote. But Sims got the last laugh. He had a splendid NFL career, and the Giants retired his number 11 jersey. Sims went into TV after retiring before the 1994 season, and he's been there ever since, in the booth and in the studio, mostly for CBS.
In your infamous bandwagon columns of the Washington Post, you referred to him week after week after week after week as blonde hosehead. You took shots at him.
Yes.
By the way, why did he go from 12 to 11? Do the Giants have a famous 12 that I don't know about? New York Giants, famous 12, that he would have to not have that number?
I'm guessing Charlie Connerly, but I could be wrong. I don't know. Happy trails to Brian Billick's absence from coaching. Arizona State has hired Billick, a Super Bowl winner in 2001 when he coached the Baltimore Ravens, to become an offensive analyst and advisor to head coach Herm Edwards. Billick joins a staff that includes former Cincinnati Bengals coach Marvin Lewis, who advises ASU's defensive coordinator Antonio Pierce. Billick's known Edwards for more than 40 years and worked with Lewis on the Ravens. Edwards, of course, coached the Jets and the Chiefs. Since leaving the Ravens, Billick has worked as an analyst on television and has written some books. I used to call him a preening schmo in jest.
You did.
He's a total delight to talk to, as are Lewis and Edwards. Edwards, by the way, is 25-18 at Arizona State. It's all very cozy. It feels like that movie Going in Style, where old guys Morgan Freeman and Michael Caine and Alan Arkin, they get together and rob banks.
I'm going to welcome him to the desert. Everyone should come to the desert, which Billick is now. And he got on his tags, preening schmo in Maryland. Remember that?
Loved him. I love him. Quick to the big finish, Mike. Your Bears are reportedly hiring Chiefs assistant head of player personnel Ryan Poles as the new GM. Are you excited for another Ryan?
People got to work, Tony. They got to do some work and have some accomplishments and achievements before I'm going to get excited, given the last few years. Baseball, I'm encouraged. How about that? Baseball and the Players Association met again today after progress yesterday. Are you optimistic?
Progress, that's the key word. Come on, let's play two. The Suns beat the Jazz for their 7th straight win. Are you impressed?
They're 3.5 clear of Golden State. And Chris Paul, probably for the 2nd straight year, should be the MVP. And I don't see it happening, but he is that valuable. Ash Barty beat Jessica Pegula, too, and love your thoughts.
My thoughts are that you made the wrong call on that particular one. Last one. Number one, Auburn at Missouri tonight. Are you smelling upset?
No, Mizzou's 8-10, 2-4 in the conference. That'd be good. No upset. Auburn wins.
We're out of time. We'll try and do better the next time. Scott Sadler, happy birthday.
I'm Mike Wilbon. Same time tomorrow, Knuckleheads. You can get the PTI podcast on ESPN app or Apple Podcasts. And now, here's SportsCenter.
Ash Barty's number one in the world. She's a great player.